Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah!
What's her name?
Wendy McComb!
Who the fuck is that?
Wendy McComb?
Who is that?
Oh, she's in a movie I just watched. It's really cool.
Is she in the Sandlot, Jared?
She's in a movie called Internet Famous.
Winnie Peppercorn. Isn't that the one
from
the Sandlot?
Wendy McComb.
Yes. Wendy Peppercorn.
Something like that,
this
right?
This is Wendy McComb. Thank you.
All right. Well, fuck her.
She was in Internet Famous.
I was watching Sandlot earlier with the boy.
Young boy. Ross, you should watch
Big fan.
Internet Famous.
I love this.
Because you will laugh a lot.
Here's the thing, Jared. Any movie you suggest now, you know, goes in one ear and out my ass.
She plays Veronica Decker. She plays Veronica Decker in Internet Famous. No, the funny thing about Internet, the thing that you will love about Internet Famous, Ross, is it's almost like Best in Show. It's a mockumentary, but it's about this talk show host that is essentially giving five Internet Famous people the chance to get their own TV show. So you follow all their stories. So you got the guy that got famous off of cat videos, which is Richard Ryan. You've got the girl.
Look, if Richard Ryan's in it, I'll watch
Dude,
it.
He crushes his part in it, and it's so funny.
All right, well, where is it at? Where did you see it?
It's on iTunes. You can rent it on iTunes. It's just called Internet Famous. Richard Ryan's fucking hilarious because he got famous from the cat videos, but he still thinks of himself as this filmmaker director. But it's only cat videos that he does. And everybody he doesn't bring his cat to this expo. It's like VidCon expo. Everybody keeps asking where his cat is.
Let's save a little mystery, Jared. We don't need a whole goddamn dissertation.
I was giving shout outs to Wendy McComb. She killed it in that movie.
Yes.
Well, Wendy, if you're listening, we love you.
She's kind of hot, too. She looks like a babysitter.
Huge fan.
She looks like a babysitter.
Huge surprise out of you.
That's
huge.
Weird.
Huge fucking surprise.
And I'm not going to say I don't like that because I'm going to say.
I'm just going to show her to run.
Look, we got some sponsors to get to here that pays for this whole fucking shit show to be on. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah.
The first one, you know who it is. Huge fan. Them of us of them. It comes in a tin packet. A little company called Strike Force Energy.
I just got a message.
It's liquid energy, zero calories, zero sugar. You can add the whole packet to any single drink you want. You can do it to liquor. You can do it to water. You can do it to sodas. You can do it to beers, margaritas, whatever
you want. Strike Force Energy, put down that fucking can.
Kick the can. Get some Strike Force Energy. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of every single order. But, look, they have a subscription service, which is what we all have. It's just easier. Shit ships to your house every day because what happens is you get addicted to it. You ended up buying a lot of it. You don't want to keep going back. Just get a subscription. It's cheaper. It's easier. They ship anywhere in the entire world. So regardless of where you're stationed around the world or whatever the fuck you're doing, let's say you're getting loose in Norway. Maybe you're having a six-way for the first time with two other couples that you met on a carnival cruise. Get some Strike Force energy in you because that's going to be a long night ahead of you.
Dude.
It's going to be a lot of calf muscles and a lot of grunting. So get some StrikeForceEnergy.com for all your energy needs. And the next one is, it's an oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
It's TartarusOrdinance.com. Yes. I wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Wish a motherfucker would.
Wish a motherfucker would. Yeah, yeah.
A motherfucker would.
Now to go with this that blues rendition we just gave them, I might say the rest of it as an angry black man. Man, that's Tartarus. That's TartarusOrdinance.com, man. So go to TartarusOrdinance.com for all your home defense ammunition needs. They got bullets. They got guns. They're dealing arms. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of every order. And that day is the day that you can say to yourself, a motherfucker did, and I was prepared. I was prepared.
That's so funny.
The next one. Next up is a new one to the show, but an instant fave. It is www.warfightertobacco.com. They're premium hand-rolled cigars from the DR.
Premium. Premium.
Maybe Fat Joe's from there. Maybe he's smoking these.
Yeah.
And maybe he's going all the way up.
These
handmade cigars are only using quality Cuban seed tobacco. They're all about cigars because they're men. They don't use any fucking hookahs. They love cigars, guns, and whiskey. Ladies, if you're out there and you need a tip on cigars, they'll help you out. They're 100% combat veteran owned and operated, and they got cigars and other cool shit on there. Type in a promo code Drinking Bros. If they don't have one, make them have one. Let them know you listen to the show. We're a big fan. They're gonna make a signature cigar for Rocco. And again, smoke them while you got them. And you should smoke one and read a fine novel for yourself. You should really treat yourself. You know, if your wife's pissed at you, if your girlfriend hates you, maybe your operation to get transed got pushed. Maybe you're angry about it. Why don't you read At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. It's the funniest book ever written. If you like the writing in Range 15, it's the same in the goddamn book. A little man named Ross Patterson. Had a lot to do with it. He put his heart and soul in it. Might have put his dick and balls in chapter two. Not going to say if he did or not. And that's available everywhere. Amazon, Audible.com, your grandfather's house, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can possibly get it, it's there. And if you're sitting down to read it, let's say you're getting up early in the morning, you're reading it. Pour yourself a nice cup of Black Rifle coffee, hot and steamy. It's better than 80 Colombians just making it in a bathtub. Go to blackriflecoffee.com.
Or my daughter making it in a bathtub.
Yeah, yeah. Get yourself a donkey or a donkey. Get yourself some Black Rifle Coffee online. You can get it on Amazon Prime. You can go straight to the source itself. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of every order. They also have a subscription. Which again, we are all members of. It is our favorite. It is one of our besties who owns it, Mr. Evan Hafer.
Evan Hafer.
All the boys from the podcast are involved in it, and we love it. We love it. And if you're hanging out drinking coffee, maybe your lady's next to you. Maybe you just had a sweet, sweet lovemaking sesh. Maybe you had a little afternoon delight, and maybe she's snuggled up in
afternoon
a fucking
afternoon delight.
Drinking Bros podcast tea. That's right. We got
Sky
some sexy ones.
Rockets in sight.
Woo. Did you say tea?
Afternoon delights. Afternoon delights.
Afternoon delights.
Go
to drinkingbrospodcast.com. Get yourself some teas. Get yourself some Lincoln's box seat silkies, motherfucker.
You should learn the lows to that one, Rocco.
I need to learn the lows of that one.
Yeah, because there's nothing like putting your dick in a pair of silkies with Abraham Lincoln snuggled up against your dong. You know what I'm saying?
I blasted a load in my own silkies today. It was dope.
And on that note, welcome to Drinking Bros.
Welcome.
God damn it, Rocco.
Ham and cheese in between two crackers. Wash it down with Capri Sun. What? Yeah. It's a Lunchables.
I love it.
Lunchables.
Wow.
Motherfucking Lunchables.
Man, I can tell this is going to be a good one tonight, kids. Jared's got the grape juice in him. I can hear it in his voice.
I got another Franz Press.
Yeah, you do. You got that Franz Press. It's filled to the brim, Rocco said it right before we started the show.
It is fucking
I've already had one.
I know.
Now
you're on number two tonight.
By the way,
on drinkingbrospodcast.com, there is a Franz Press t-shirt. That is going to be special edition made
France
for,
Press
for
drinking
anybody
team,
who wants it.
Right?
Yep, the France Press drinking team.
France Press
Jared.
Drinking team.
And by the way, I've seen pictures pop up online of everybody drinking out of France Presses all over the nation because of you. So
yeah, actually,
you're doing something right, Jared, you're my little fat bottom girl.
So I'm working on something, Ross. I'm working on something. I'm going to try and get some custom France Presses. Only about 50 of them made. I'm only trying to get 50 of them made. They'll be limited editions, and they'll have Drinking Bros logo on them.
That'd be amazing.
If you do that, by the way, you know that I'm actually going to buy them before they come out.
I can't wait.
I'm going to buy one of my own before it goes out to the people. So it's only going to be 14. Just know that in your heart of hearts.
Fucking Lunchables.
I really will. Because I want it. So I want one really
right
fucking
now.
Bad. I want it really fucking bad. Man, we got a little breaking news to the sites tonight.
Yeah.
To the show, if you will. Dude, I just saw on Twitter that Apple was gonna buy Tidal, Jay-Z's site.
Boom.
That is massive, man. People said that was gonna fail, and I think we talked about it on one of our early
yeah,
shows.
We did.
With all of the famous musicians getting together and sucking each other's dicks at that news conference. It was Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Madonna.
Pretty much all the big
the
names, they
is,
put their
man,
money together for.
Gwen Stefani. And they got together and they were like, hey, everybody's stealing from us.
Yeah.
We're creating our own thing on Tidal. We're not going to be like the elites. We want to get paid and all this other shit. And U2, I think, was on there. But meanwhile, there was about $8 billion sitting in that news conference. No one felt bad. Everybody thought it was going to be the biggest failure of all time. And now Apple's going to buy them?
Well, you got to think about it, Ross. If you get everybody to collectively come together, like especially big names like that, you control the market. Take it back from the suits. Since being in
So here's the argument to that, JT, because now everybody's online saying, dude, they just gave it back to the suits. So how do you feel about that? Yeah, that's what I feel.
I mean, they're just going to give it right back to him. But, I mean, like I said, since entering the entertainment industry, the creator or the artist or the creative person gets butt-fucked from day one, from everybody in the process. And it's like, you know, I think they started out trying to retake back the power, retake back the money, and take back the control.
Yeah, and
but
they,
if they're just going to sell to Apple, I mean, you just
sold it.
Yeah, you just fucking
yeah.
So pretty much all they did was make an investment. That's all they fucking did.
It was like, let's make this big enough, and then we'll get bought.
I don't even know fucking how long. I think that company's only been around a year and a half.
Yeah.
And here's the wildest part. I know we talk shit about him all the time on the show. All of their success is pretty much because of Kanye.
Really?
His last album, The Life of Pablo, went exclusively to Tidal. There was a record 9 million subscribers that signed up to it to listen to the album. He did a live fashion show from Madison Square Garden where he played it exclusively. That was streaming on Tidal. The album was streaming on Tidal for like the first 5 weeks. It broke, you know, all the records for that shit. And then he, you know, shipped it around the world after that. And then he went back.
I want to say something, Ross.
Yeah.
And
so
I don't want you to bite my head off for this because I've looked into it a lot. But you know, I used to be a diehard, you know, I hate Kanye 2 fan because he's a fucking, you know, he has no humility or anything. But then I saw a few interviews with him when he was either like sober or had a level head or whatever, and started kind of really listening. I think his biggest problem is I think he doesn't know how to properly articulate his message. He's trying to get across.
100%.
I think 100%. He probably has Asperger's. Like any really sickly talented person I know has a personality problem. Like they have no way to connect with people. And we all know Kanye is fucking talented. But if you really listen to a lot of his frustrations, they're all very real. The same things that we faced, like, where
yeah,
he doesn't
he
get...
But he can't form full sentences to articulate himself.
He's not
enough.
Able...
Yeah.
He always comes off as a cocky asshole. But if you look at what he really is complaining about, the general things is people steal from me, people don't give me credit for things that I have fucking paved the way for, and it just sucks, you know, that you know, everybody wants to talk about Madonna changing the way for music or these people back in the day, but it's like, I'm doing it right in front of your eyes, but no one bothers to like wake up and go, wow, you really are. Like, you really are. No one just comes out and says that. I think it's just because...
We know nothing about that, do we?
Dude, I mean... Yeah.
Dude, you
saw,
know my frustrations with this.
I saw some interviews that I greatly related to him with. Like, when he voices... He is the only one that is actively speaking out against the entertainment industry and just saying, hey, I'm doing all these things. I'm breaking all these records. I'm doing all these fucking amazing things. Yet you guys don't even give me fucking shit all credit for it. And yes, it comes off as a cocky dick when you get on Ellen and start just saying, hey, what the fuck? I'm changing the world right now. Like, we were like, no, you're not changing the world. But look at the data. Look at some of the things that he has influence. It's like, yeah, he's affecting a half the population of the country. Like, yes, he is doing things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I look, to get 9 million people to sign up for Tidal, like, that's fucking insanity.
That's massive. Well, that's a massive conversion rate. That's a lot
thing.
Of power.
He's just a fucking. Yeah. He's just a fucking idiot.
He just,
you know,
doesn't.
I mean?
I don't think he knows
know.
How to.
But you know, it's funny. We know.
No, he just can't. He can't form his thoughts together. Correctly.
Ross, here's something funny. Last night, me and Jared talked. We're going to be working on something pretty big here because that's similar frustrations that he has. We have as well, and it's like, how do we bring to light like some of the frustrations we have without looking like complete fucking cocky dicks? And it's like, well, you know what, we can show numbers, dude. And that's what he did right there. Yeah. That's numbers, man.
It's like, we beat Lonely Island the same week they dropped their record. No one said a word.
Nothing, dude.
Nothing. These guys that are fucking nobodies from El Paso
exactly.
Just fucked up the leaders in the game.
And nobody called either, which is strange.
So, like, that's the thing. We got something planned.
It's so fucking weird.
We got some plan, Ross, that I think is gonna shake people up and just respectfully shake them up. We're gonna be like, damn, you can't deny this. You cannot deny numbers.
We're gonna offer. I mean, we want to offer the knowledge that we've gained to anybody that wants it, because we're tired of seeing people that don't have the credits or the accolades behind their name up on a stage telling people what they should and shouldn't do. It's like,
yeah, I will say this, though. There is some instances where you can give away all your secrets in the world, but it does come down to genuine talent. And you guys are extremely talented guys. So, Elon Musk gave away his electronic or the fucking electric car, all of his patents and all that shit, and said, hey, I want the world to be this. Use these fucking things and
copy it. Let me see what you come up with yourself.
It's the same as Gary Vee. You know, he's obviously a big entrepreneur. He talked about social media and how, you know, it's pretty much the future and all that stuff. And he says, he adamantly says, look, I'm going to give you all the fucking answers, and none of you motherfuckers are going to go do shit about it.
No, you're not, because you won't.
No. Yeah. They won't.
I said
right.
that. I said it. I gave that. I gave credit to Gary for this, but I said it in my TED Talks. I said, Gary Vee did this speech that I greatly respect because I identify with it. Is Gary talks about when he began his journey, that he would make content for one view. He didn't care if one person watched it, he was happy with it. It wasn't about, he didn't wake up and say, I'm not going to make a video because I'm not going to get 10,000 views. I'm not going to make a video because I'm not going to get 100,000 views. He goes, if one person watched what I made, I met my goal. And then the next time I made something, if two or four people watched it, I just improved from the last time. So I'm just going to keep going down that road. And he goes, if you're not willing to work for that one view, then you're not going to fucking get there.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of shit he says that's just raw and real. And fucking, I hate it because I'm like, fuck, we should be doing that too. You know what I mean? But the guy crushes, and that's the truth behind it. Like, we can go.
I really want to hang out with him. I think he would like us.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
Gary Vee? Yeah. You know who is like the next Gary Vee? Is Josh Harkis. We do our podcast from Huify over here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Harkis reminds me a lot of him. Josh Harkis does. Yeah, he's very on that edge like that, and he does a bunch of videos online for marketing and shit like that for like Fortune 500 companies. So I think he's one to watch. I enjoy his shit as well. But yeah, man, that title deal, man, going back to the suits, trying to get away from it. Now you're back in it.
Yeah,
not giving two fucks. I mean, I wonder what Apple is going to pay them out.
At the end of the day, too, Ross, I see another angle from that. Is if you know about like Silicon Valley and San Francisco, there is this new culture that has been created in the last 15 years, maybe 20. It's identical to Los Angeles, of everybody moving there to become an actor, actress, writer, fucking director, everything. But in Silicon Valley and San Francisco, it's the next tech billionaire. You know, it's the next startup.
Right,
like,
right.
And that's what's funny is I have friends that live there, and they say single friends, every date you go on, the guy is talking about, I'm trying to get funding for my startup. I'm trying to get funding for my app.
Do you watch that show, by the way?
Silicon Valley? Absolutely. Yeah. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it's almost like this group of musicians got smart and said, look, we have the power to control, you know, collectively 30 to 60 million people. Let's use that for us. And let's get us fucking paid off this tech boom. You know, instead of some dude that invents Twitter that gets offered $2 billion to walk away and hand it over, like where's, you know, we already have an audience. We already have all this shit. So I think maybe it might be half of that is they wanted to cash in on that piece instead of saying, hey, I'm waiting for a check from my label. I'm waiting for a check from my manager, my agent. Like, no, let's make our own shit, and then let's cash in on this whole business.
Yeah, you know what's weird? If that does happen to you, Jared, if you do that, whatever your big idea is, I don't know what it is because you guys haven't told me.
No, we don't want to say it right now.
No, and don't. You shouldn't. You should keep it to yourself until it's ready for the entire world. If you do, though, I don't think the podcast will go away. So, you know, no matter how rich we are, Jared.
Oh, no. That's not going to be about – that project is not about becoming fucking rich. That project is just about
– opening eyes, dude.
It's about just –
it's opening eyes and
labeling the accomplishments and saying, hey, don't – you know –
handing out a service. Like, here you go, man. You want to do it? That easy.
We'll come talk to you. Don't sit here and listen to a guy that's got – 10,000 Facebook followers talk to you about how good he is at Facebook.
Yeah, how to build your fucking social media when you have 1,000 followers. Yeah. Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, it's like,
you just spend people's...
Sit down.
People are paying right now from $2,000 to $5,000 to go sit in some kind of fucking room...
Expo
to listen to five fucking people that combined don't have more than fucking me, and I don't have shit compared to fucking Derek, Matt, fucking all the other combined, all of our companies combined. And it's like, why would you pay this motherfucker $5,000?
It's like
to hear what he has to say when
people are getting the best accolades right now. Is you know, Evan recently went to a big social media marketing campaign or exposition or expo. What do you call their thing?
Marketing expo
in San Diego, and he said their headliner keynote speaker. He said one of our businesses does 6 times better than he does.
That's my point, dude. I went to one as well.
One of our businesses does 6 times better than their headliner. So it's like, and he had to pay $1,500 just to get into this. He said there was roughly 4,000 people there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, dude, That's my point. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because there was a female that spoke. And I'm not going to drop her name or anything, but she had 1,000 followers on Twitter, 1,000 followers on Instagram, and like 400 followers on Facebook. And she's up there speaking to all these people, probably making close to 5,000 to 10,000 just for showing up. And it's like, ouch. Ouch. I don't know.
Why are people paying to listen to you?
Yeah, whatever your message is, there's no way you're going to help anyone build their social media when you yourself can't even fucking build your social media. It's fucking crazy, dude.
Man, that is unfortunately that's the most honest assessment though of what that shit is in the world right now. It's a bunch of people who get paid to do shit like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's why we want to open it up to be like, look, we'll come to you and we'll fucking give you everything you fucking need. Now it's up to you to take it or leave it.
Yeah, and that's why I've always said that too with the film thing. I've been willing to take in anybody that has wanted to come and learn from step one, because it doesn't matter to me. I'll teach you all the cool tricks and everything. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to replicate what I can do.
Yeah.
You're just going to know, you know, the checklist.
It's never going to be easy to replicate what us three can do on film. It's just a chemistry that we were blessed to have, and it just fucking works.
That's why you see us going heavy into music now, because we were tired of people in our space ripping us off. So we're going to drag them into an area that no one else can follow us into. And that's the funniest thing.
Wow, you're taking them out to the jungle.
Yeah, it's you want to fight in here? No, we're going to fight outside.
Oh, you want a deep sea fish? All right, let's deep sea fish. You only got a fucking trout line. Like, come on.
Hey. Yeah. By the way, Rocco, speaking of fighting, I saw your video today.
Which one?
It was the dads on the playground.
Yeah, dads and parks.
One.
Dads and parks. You saw Rocco's dads and parks today?
I watched yours, Jared, and I watched Rocco's.
I thought mine was shitty.
I liked yours. You were talking about fighting.
Yeah, but you know what? The piece of that joke was cut out. Like that was a real situation I was talking about. A guy really did shoulder check me in a bar, and he goes, "Oh, you ever heard of this gym?" And I go, "No." He goes, "Well, it's an MMA gym, and I study there." And I just looked him in his eyes, like real blank face, and I go, "You ever heard of Jeffrey Dahmer? I study him."
I didn't know that was cut out.
So that piece, the Jeffrey Dahmer piece, got cut out. So you only hear me say how I was like, you know, I was stone cold. I just look at him. You didn't hear the thing. I just looked at him and I go, "You ever hear of Jeffrey Dahmer? I study him." Because that dude literally got like white and just kind of backed away. Because I mean, I'm not going to fight, but I'm going to scare you.
That's really fucking funny, man. I did not know that was cut out. It got me to thinking, like, it was a really great point and a great video for that portion where it was like, dude, the fights are really different today versus back in the day.
That's sad,
where it was like,
man.
Great. I know it's sad. Like back in the day, you could go out one on one, beat the guy up, have a beer, and then move on with your life.
We need to bring that back.
Yeah, it's more
just
manly.
Bring it back.
It's more manly just to fight.
Yeah, more manly. It's just you and him. You knock him down, it's done. It's like, okay, I'll buy you a drink. You know, we're done. I want it, but now it's over. We got our anger out. It's like dude shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Like you don't need to hold a grudge. You don't need to go to your car and get a fucking gun.
No, you're,
fuck you. You're a bitch.
You're both out of breath and done.
You're not being cool at that
point.
There was a
bar I was at University of Alabama, they had a boxing ring in the middle of it.
Yes.
And there was nobody boxing in it. So I asked, you know, I walked in, it's my first time there, and I was like, What's the empty ring for? Is somebody going to fight? And they were like, "Oh yeah, somebody's going to fight." And I was like, "Oh, who's going to fight? You guys got like a card?" And they were like, no, you know, it's when people get too rowdy, they settle in the ring, and everybody loves it.
Yep.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant.
God, that's brilliant. Here, sign this waiver. Put these big gloves on.
It's a very similar thing they do in the infantry world when we're in basic
kumite
training. We have a not a kumite.
Oh, but I've done to a kumite.
like an officer and the gentleman. Like Richard Gere.
Well, in the basic training, you have a spot in the center of a room called the kill zone, and like no one's allowed to step on that motherfucker, right? Throughout the day, the drill sergeant, that's where he stands, and he addresses you from the inside of there, and you're on the outside stepping your toes on the line. But late at night, man, if there's someone in that room that you don't fucking like, you call them out. They step into the kill zone. It's a fucking fight, dude. It's a fucking
That's how
fight.
It needs to be.
Yeah, it's how it needs to be. That's man shit.
Yeah. You've seen Officer and the Gentleman, right?
No.
Is it like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mayo. Mayo.
I'm more of a Fight Club guy.
Well, you know, I had an incident. I had a really funny incident in. I was fucking hammered in New Orleans. And
hot. It's hot. It's hot down there in New Orleans. Oh,
dude.
By the way.
We're walking down.
You ever been there in the summer? It's fucking brutal.
Oh, yeah. I was there in the summer. I mean, I lived
it is two hours
east of there. So
I found an alligator in my boxers in the summer there. That's how swampy it was. I was like, oh, shit.
So
they had to bring in a guy.
I'm hammered with my buddies. And for whatever reason, this dude does something or whatever while we're walking down Bourbon. And I call him a cunt.
Oh, jeez.
In front of his girl.
Oh, God.
And
why would you do that?
I don't know. But you know what? Here's the thing.
You call me a bitch, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck you. You call me a cunt, it's like, oh, God, why would you say that?
Like he got mad, and his girlfriend's kind of holding him back. And I tell his girlfriend, I go, let him go. I called him a cunt. I deserve to get hit. Let him go. And we're arguing for a little bit. Finally, I just look at his girlfriend. I go, let him fucking go. I deserve it. And the girl lets him go. He punched me right in the head. And then I just shook his hand, and I was like, look, I didn't mean to call you that. Like, that was out of line. Especially,
really?
Especially,
is this a real story?
Yeah, this is fucking fully real.
He knocked an apology out of your head. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I kind of knew that I crossed the line. Like, I was drunk as shit. I knew I crossed the line calling him a cunt in front of his girlfriend. You can't just take that and walk away. I said, let him go. He punched me right in the fucking side of the jaw. And then I just turned back to him. And he was like squaring up ready to fight. And I put my hand out to shake his hand. And I said, I deserve that. I'm sorry, bro. And then he goes, well, fuck you. Let's get a drink.
Yeah. Dude. So I have a twin sister.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah, well, amazing. I knew I was wrong right away.
Yeah.
I like that. I like it.
I knew he was with his girlfriend. Like, he needed to show, I ain't going to be a bitch about this.
Yeah,
like,
dude, you don't make a guy look like a
bitch. His girlfriend all night, too, was peacocking all over him. Like, that was badass. That's, you just fucking.
He's getting butt stuff that night.
And then some other person was like, you let that dude just punch you. I was being rude, man. I needed it.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's funny, man. Like, I grew up the way my dad was a fighter. My dad used to have like fucking bar stools in the front seat. I mean, in the front lawn when I'd get home, anyone that got off the bus, he'd just say, like, hey, you want to fight my son? And he'd put gloves on. We'd fucking throw down. It was just miserable. But I had a twin sister, and his whole thing was, if she comes home crying, I'm going to kick your ass. You know, I'm like, whoa, what the hell does that even mean? So if a dude fucks with her, I had to beat the fuck out of these dudes. And so my life was like, ah, shit, dude, sorry, man. I don't want to do this, man. But I got to go home to a dad that's going to beat the fuck out of me. So sorry, bro. Bam. And I just fucking smacked these motherfuckers, right? And I'd hit them. Dude, all the way up to junior high. She comes down the stairs one day crying. I'm like, fuck, who is he? He goes, Ryan Morgan pinched my butt. I'm like, all right, where is he at? And I grabbed the fucking back of his head and slammed it into the locker, and he had braids just fucked him up, dude. And she's like, what'd you do that for? I was like, look, I don't want to go home and deal with this shit, dude, because dad's going to fuck me up worse. So I'm sorry for you, Ryan. I love you, buddy. He's in the movie industry now, so it's even funnier. But
that is fucking amazing. And by the way, that's the way it should be.
That's how
Another
it is.
One. That's the way it should be.
Dude, we used to have a dude, in elementary.
Sister. You should stick up for your
in
sister.
In elementary, we had a fucking alley. And you say, oh, yeah, you want to fight? Fuck you. After school at the alley. You show up to the alley, you just beat the fuck out of the dude, and you go home, and it's done. Dude, I still protect my sister. I still have a trigger. I went to a
you do.
I went to Scottsdale for a fucking, we went to a club one night. This was like probably 7 years ago. And there's all this smoke, dude. And my sister's friend grabs her ass under the smoke and trying to pretend like some dude grabbed it. And she jumps towards me and goes, some guy grabbed my ass. And I reached through the smoke and grabbed the first motherfucker. And just like, I said, motherfucker. And he goes, I didn't do nothing. Like, dude, he's screaming. Like, and my sister friend's like, calm down. It was me. I was like, oh, my bad, bro. Let me go buy your drink. Like, fuck, dude. Like, I'm so triggered by that shit because I still feel my dad's going to find me and beat the fuck out of me. Yeah.
See,
that's hilarious. How old is
Cutman,
Carlos the Cutman.
Cutman
these
Carlos,
days.
Man, you got me. He's probably in the 52 range. 53, 54.
Yeah, my
dad's only 53.
So. He's born in 56. What is that?
Okay. That's 60 something.
No, he's is he 60s?
Yeah, it's 2016.
He's 50.
Yeah.
He's born
might be 70.
He's not 70.
It's 2016, dude.
Not
he was born 70. In 1950.
He's 60. He'd be 60 years old.
Huh?
I'm going to solve this math equation for you.
Did he turn 60 years old? Okay, well,
so he's 60.
Okay, who he
turned 60 years old. 60
See,
years
old. I'm more
the youngest.
Like,
I'm the youngest.
I'm like Homer Simpson.
What?
Well, the thing is my best friend growing up since fourth grade beat the fuck out of me every year. Like, every year, all the way up until I went into the military, I did
just
something.
To do it?
No. I always did something that warranted it. I mean, I probably did more than fucking 50 things that warranted it, but every year something crossed the line and I got fucked up. His name's Kenny Martin. Fucking Kenny Martin. He's in Pensacola.
Kenny Martin.
He's in Pensacola right now. He's a naval officer and he's training to be a Wizzo on an F-18 fighter jet. I was in his wedding. But
really?
Anyway, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's still my best friend.
And he beat the fuck out of you.
Oh, dude, every year.
That's so funny.
But it was good. I always deserved it.
Everyone needs
Again,
that,
I you, always deserved it.
You need to get a good ass kicking.
Well, like, I had ratted on to the girl that he liked when we were in fifth grade. And I told him that Kenny liked her. And he was like, hey, come to the bathroom with me. So I walk into the bathroom. And as soon as I walk in, he swung me off my feet because he was huge. When we were in fourth grade, he fucked the sixth graders up. Like, and he was the baddest dude.
Him. I was like, wow,
he's a big dude.
He was the baddest dude in school in fourth grade. So like, I was the little kid in Christmas Story. You know, the one like, yeah, get him, Big Zoo, because then we called him Big Zoo.
That's funny, dude.
So yeah, he picked me up off my feet, slams me into the fucking urinal, and just
you didn't know bro
I just
code,
crush
dude.
In it. I know, I didn't.
You
and
didn't
he
know
goes,
bro code.
He goes, stop opening your mouth, motherfucker. And he's like, and then he comes back and he goes, I'm sorry. So then I get into the military, and again, I'm the youngest dude in my squadron. I'm tiny. So I just got beat up all the time. I mean, they always fucking tape me to shit and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just used to getting beat up, so I'm not afraid to get beat up unless you're gonna be dirty about it. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be dirty.
Look. Don't be fucking dirty.
I mean, I'll accept defeat and I'll be cool about it. All right, I'll buy it. You got me. Choke me out. You got me an armbar.
Yeah, when I watched your thing earlier, I was like, fucking A. That's something that nobody really talks about anymore, but it's so true. Because everybody's like quick to like curb stomp somebody.
Yeah.
Or like Baltimore, where it's like, hey, 50 motherfuckers against one.
What?
Where you're just like, come on, that's not really a fight at that point. But I like this. It should be a one-on-one man thing. Fuck you. Great, let's go settle this and then go back in and have a Coors.
I can talk about a fight. I'm going to go sketchy on the details, though, because I got away from that one.
Yeah.
So I won't say where it was
or
when it was. But right. I was out. Dude knocks a heater into us. And I was out, I had my buddy visiting me. His name's Jeff.
Wait, what's your definition of a heater, by
the way?
Yeah,
it's one of those patio heaters.
Oh, you're saying a real heater.
Like a
propane
heater.
I thought it was a left hook. I thought a left hook.
No. So,
a cigarette. Like, oh, somebody fucking flicked a cigarette at you? Yep, you got pissed off. So you got hit with a real goddamn heater.
Yeah, but premising that, my friend was visiting.
They hit you with a heater.
Oh, dude. My buddy was visiting. He was the dude that trained me when I had first gotten in the Air Force. He was a badass dude. He's wrote a few books. He's a nationally ranked martial artist. Like, he is a badass. He's a huge. I'm not even gonna try and say what.
He's some kind of martial arts badass.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we
he's
got it.
Really good too. I'll show you videos later. You'll be like, fuck that guy. We call him Wolverine. He looks like Wolverine.
Oh, I love that.
Dude. He's badass. Like, he's a super smart guy. I believe he either have his master's or doctorates in sports physiology. Like, the dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
The dude knows his shit. And he just, I want to say last month, like, took first or second nationally in whatever his style is. So he's visiting. And I haven't seen this guy in years. And he was the guy that kind of raised me in the Air Force and everything. I gratefully respect this guy, you know, because he had got out after that. So I had gone on to going overseas and fighting twice. So, you know, he had this kind of cool thing with me. Like, man, you did it. You know, you went over and you did the. I never did that. I got out before I got a chance to deploy and stuff like that. So it was kind of this cool thing.
That's cool.
So we're out at the bar. We're hanging out. Dude knocks the heater. I catch it. And put it back. I put it back right up. And the dude was like, I was like, hey, don't worry about it, man. We got it. Nobody was hurt. And he was like, okay, cool. And he was drunk, and he kind of just was swaying back in our face. And I was like, hey, man, I told you it was cool. Like, you can keep walking. Like, we're good. And he looks at me and goes, don't tell me what to fucking do.
Yep. Sorry.
And I was like, yeah, dude.
And you throw
roll him up.
We're in the middle of a conversation, and I slowly push his shoulder, and I go, get out of here. Like, we're in the middle of something right now. Not even in the mood. And so he walks away. So we have a few more drinks, and then that dude is over by all his buddies, and he's pointing at me, and he's talking to him. And then when we catch eyes, he yells something over the bar, like, do something, motherfucker.
Oh, jeez.
And then I was like, we're going to go down. And I'm in front of Jeff now, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to bitch out on this. So I put my drink down. I was like, okay. And I was like, outside, let's go. So we go to the parking lot.
Yes. And, yes, I love that.
And two of his buddies are with him. One of them's kind of big. Jeff takes his shirt off because, again, Jeff looks like Wolverine. And he points right to those two guys. He goes, if any of you guys step forward, I'm going to fuck both of you up.
Oh, that's so fun.
And now it's down to me and him. So I'm standing there, both feet planted. And I'm just like, all right, you go first. And this dude's jumping around like a boxer. Like, he's jumping all over the place. Like getting warmed up, whatever. He's doing, like, air shit and all that stuff.
Air squats.
He's doing, you know, boxing the air, whatever. And I go, he goes, what are the rules? I go, the rules are, when you hit the ground, it's done. Now fucking hit me. And he goes, those are the rules? I go, fucking hit me. And he goes to throw a wide fucking haymaker. I popped him about 7 times in the jaw and the nose and the eye socket.
No.
He fell down. I put him in a rear naked choke. He tapped, and I let him go. But I busted his nose, so I had blood all over me. Like, all over my watch. I'll show you the pictures. All over my jeans.
I love this.
Like,
he has pictures. That's amazing.
And I get up, and I go to lift him up, and Jeff looks at me and goes, run, motherfucker. And the two fucking bouncers are sprinting at us from the parking lot, and I bolt. So I jump into a fucking raspberry bush because it's you know, it's all thorny and shit. I was like, oh, no one's gonna follow me in here. About 5 minutes later, cops get there, ambulance gets there. I crawl under the fucking raspberry bush, dart across the street, and I'm texting everybody, meet me behind this building by the trash cans. And then my friend lived about, I want to say, a quarter of a mile away. I just said, I don't have time to explain. I need you here in the vehicle within minutes. And he, no shit, by the time I was across the street, all the other guys that we were with had corrugated, like had met up by that dumpster. The fucking car comes back. We all jump in, and we're in his house while the other cop cars are showing up. So I have no idea what happened to that guy.
Why did you tell this on your drunken debrief?
I don't know, because that's like a bar story.
But you're still military story. It's good.
That's true.
It's a good one. I love it.
But I got away. I still got.
I like.
But
that.
I've got my watch full of blood. I got my pants covered in blood because they came running around. They had went to the gas station bathroom and showed up with wet paper towels to clean me off in case we got picked up.
That's the way you got to do it. Yeah. So two things on that. I was in a fight once, very similar situation. My buddy got covered in blood, fucked this dude up really bad. Him and I took off running like fucking, I was leading him back to the house like Harriet Tubman. And he, you know, these people, they knew where we lived, and it was inevitable that the police were going to come. So he was panicking, and I was like, dude, take off all your clothes. He's like, what? I'm like, give me all your fucking clothes, man. I'll take care of this. He was covered in blood. I went out down the street, threw him in a fucking grill, lit all of his clothes on fire to get rid of all the evidence. And so all of this blood, when the police showed up, they were like, oh, this guy was soaked in blood and all this shit. It was like, nah, look, you know, nobody's soaked in blood here. Was there a fight? Yeah, because we couldn't get out of this. And I was like, you know, you're going to question him or whatever, but nobody's soaked in blood. I don't know what this is. This was a fucking childhood ruse. We were in college. Obviously, it wasn't. I mean, this guy got really fucked up bad, but luckily, no charges were brought. But that's what you got to do for your bros, dude. You got to burn their clothes. You got to take their shit. You got to get the evidence away from them as fast as you can. You got to look out for one another.
I bet that dude had I put my hand out to pick him up. I let go of him when he tapped because I had him in a great rear naked.
Like, you did the right thing.
I had my legs wrapped around him like I was wrenching back. He tapped. I let go. I got up and I grabbed his hand to pick him up. I bet that motherfucker, because he was a fucking college student. Mm. Fucking college kid.
Hey, dude, you did the right thing. You did the right thing.
So my second point to your story, by the way, was I was a bouncer all 4 years in college. At no point ever did I ever chase anyone who was fighting. If they were fighting and they fucked each other up and then they ran away, you know, before the cops could get there or whatever, like, at no point did I ever chase after them because I was like, what the fuck do I care? I don't know either of these goddamn people.
I was kind of pissed about that because I knew the bouncer too. And I don't know why was running after me. It was I don't even know if he was running after. He's probably running to fuck that guy up.
Oh, man.
Matt told me a crazy story, too, about the bouncers getting in. And, like, you know, you see it on, like, World Star Hip Hop where the bouncers jump out and, like, try to fight people. It's like, hey, man, they're already outside. Chances are they already got fucked up by the other person who was in there. I don't give a shit where they go.
Yeah,
like,
who cares?
You know?
Just don't come back in here. Don't come back in here, okay?
That's it.
Stay out there.
That's it. So, and that was my... That was my thing. But
dude, you know what, Ross? I'll tell you this right now real quick. I saw this once at Seville Quarter in Pensacola. Two guys came out. There was a cop that was on duty on the corner, and they were getting ready to roll up. And one of the dudes was smart. He must have been a lawyer or some shit. He looked at the cop. He goes, we're both consenting. Fair fight.
Oh, that's and no. So that's in Washington. Washington has that.
The cop looked at the other dude.
Really?
And he goes, Are you in? The dude goes, yes, I consent to this fight. And he goes, all right, if you guys get fucking weird about it, then I'll jump in. But if you're straight about it, go for it.
In the state of Washington,
and they
right?
Fucking,
yeah. Correct?
And they started, no, this was in Florida.
Dude, in the
they
state of Washington,
started duking
yeah,
it.
So the state of Washington has that too.
And they were cool about yeah. It. Dude popped the dude right in the jaw. Dude went to a knee. Guy backed up. Cop goes, you guys are good.
Yep, exactly. So that, dude, they have that. So that's why in Washington they have that fake ass fucking superhero team that walks around. Because it's if you're mutual.
Yeah. I saw that.
It's like the mutual fight law.
It's a mutual fight law. If the dude wants to fight and the cop can't do shit, just sits there and watches and make sure it doesn't get out of hand. And they fucking throw down, dude. It's like.
They should just play a snippet of Michael Buffer saying, let's get ready to rumble.
You cannot fight like until you start it with this.
Yeah, just let him go. The stories I have as a bouncer were it was always people who were fucked up, who like you know whenever I got hit and shit like that, it was people who were fucked up and wanted to either impress their friends or their girls or whoever they were with and be like, oh man, I'm gonna go fuck up this bouncer. I know you know the bouncers never start shit. It's not like they're actively looking for shit. I would get hit by a lot of bottles, things like that.
God. Oh man!
Always in the back of the head, and it was always like a bullshit sneak attack. Yeah, and they never broke. That probably happened, I would say, 7 or 8 times, and the bottles never fucking broke.
Even,
that hurts worse, by the way.
Even wasted, though, Rocco's seen me at my most wasted points. I still have a level thought process.
Yes, he does.
Like very level.
It's zombie, but it's good.
I don't have that like switch where all of a sudden I want to talk shit to a fucking officer or some dumb shit like that. Like some people do like, oh, I'm going to get brave all of a sudden. Like it's really hard to get me to fight. I mean, those are the two that was the only real bar fight I've ever had because I'm at a bar to drink, dude. I'm not at a bar to fuck with other people.
It don't take me
and
much.
Yeah. Recently when I was at my buddy's wedding in Washington, I was on the verge of getting froggy with a fucking cop. Because he showed up, and he's Kitsap County Sheriff. I mean, again, I grew up with these guys.
Yeah.
Shows up to a wedding at the wedding venue. A venue that does weddings. On a Saturday at 9 p.m. It's still light out. And he gets out of the car acting like a fucking cock.
Ugh.
And it's like, well, we had a noise complaint. It's a fucking wedding, dude.
Yeah,
it's not a high school party. It's not a college party. These are all adults. You're at a wedding venue. Like, you can get out of the car and just say, hey, the neighbors were complaining. Can you guys turn the PA down a little bit? You can be cool. You don't got to get out acting like a fucking dick. And he, my best friend, the dude that was a groom, was like, he immediately goes, well, what's the ordinance? It's 9 p.m. right now. The ordinance says 10. And the cop looks at him and goes, look up the law. So the dude gets on his phone. And he goes, I'm reading the ordinance right now, and it still says 10 for noise. And the cop goes, oh, you want to make this into another thing? He's like, you just told me to fucking look this up.
Oh,
I almost just wanted to walk. I was standing right there in front of him. I just wanted to walk up to him and go, guess what? You've got a boss. That boss has a boss. And I guarantee you, I have a first line to that boss. And when I tell him how you acted here tonight, you're not going to be happy with it.
Fuck.
Because again, there's
if
no
Jared's
reason.
Not happy how
there's
you're
no
acting,
reason
it's over with.
For
it's
a goddamn with. Cop to act like that. Like, you don't need to act like that. You weren't breaking up a high school party. You were responding to a noise complaint for a wedding at a known venue.
Yeah.
You can drive up and talk to adults like they're adults.
Maybe somebody was marrying his ex-wife.
Dude.
You never know.
Dude,
you never know.
I was in an amazing
to the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah.
That guy was a fucking douche.
I was in an amazing fucking college baseball brawl.
Oh shit.
Party. Yeah, dude. So it was actually my team. It was Glendale Community College, man. We were out to a party. We went way outside of our normal stomping grounds just cuz one of the guys lived out in an area that we wanted to check out. It's pretty much outside.
In the sticks?
Pretty
you
much,
were in Kentucky, right?
No, this was Glendale Community College in L.A. This is the junior college before I went to Kentucky.
Gotcha.
So we went and partied out towards Pasadena and a little bit past that in a little area out there. And so we don't know anyone there, just the baseball team. But the whole baseball team pretty much showed up. So you got 20 fucking dudes there, dude. And then a lot of fucking cholos there, man, hanging out. A lot of gangsters, dude. And I was at the time, I was just dating my kid's mother. And she was pregnant with our oldest one, and I was like, hey, we're done here. We're going to head back to the house. My parents were out of town, so we're going to kind of just take it back to the house. And I said, hey, why don't you just go ahead and get the girls and go home, and then me and the guys are going to wrap it up, and I'll meet you there. So all the guys start getting in their cars, and they start moving to the front of the house while we're waiting on one dude, my buddy named Keith Bowman. Keith goes to take a piss on his way out. I'm in the front yard already. On his way out, he's like, you can tell he's like all pissed off and flushed. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? He goes, man, these guys were talking shit inside. I'm like, well, whatever, dude. Don't fucking worry about it, man. And all of a sudden, the dude puts him in a full Nelson from behind, and another dude just fucking knocks him. Boom! Hits him right in the fucking face. They obviously didn't know that I was standing right there, so the dude that hit him, I fucking rocked him. Boom! Knocked him out. And then the rest of the team sees this, and they start running out. So it's the gangsters all in this party start coming out of the fucking house. It's our guys coming out of the cars, and we start fighting in the front lawn, man. I remember, I knocked the first dude out, and then fucking I hit the next dude, and he starts falling as I go to knee him in the face, and then it was just by coincidence, his face was right by my knee, so I kneed him. And then his face was right by my foot, so I kicked him in the goddamn face. But everyone, I seen dudes left and right of me fighting. And then one of my good buddies, his name is Rox. He's just like a younger dude. I just took him out to parties with me. And he's got my back. I didn't know because I'm fighting dudes here. And I turn around. I feel something bump me. I turn around. And me and him start fucking throwing punches. And then I'm like, wait. Sorry, my bad. Keep going. So we keep moving. Dude.
The chaos.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like, my bad, bro. Hug it out. And then we turn around and start hitting more fucking dudes. I remember there was a dude behind a car holding a brick waiting to hit one of my buddies. And I snuck up on him. Boom. Clapped that dude. He was done. Out, dude. And then I remember. And then the last.
Why do you gotta grab a brick?
I know, that's what
that's
I'm saying.
Good old fashioned lawn brawl.
So I was happy to fucking catch him, dude. So
this how, my, how, Ray Rocco, how big were you in college, by the way?
Dude, I wasn't very big. I think the biggest I was in college was 200 pounds.
I mean, you saw him holding that saw the other day on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's about the same size.
So here's what I'm shocked by, because I was running 6'3", 215, 220 in college.
Yeah.
Jacked as fuck, and I'm surprised anybody anybody fucked with me.
No, dude,
for real.
I was just I was a lean dude. I was a pitcher, and so we did a lot of running. I was very, you know, I had a six pack, and I was just lean, dude. So, but the thing was,
gotcha.
I grew up fighting, so it was like, oh, here we go, man. And so we wiped these fucking cholos all over this goddamn fucking front lawn, dude. There were dudes sleeping in the daisies. Then we got in the car and drove off laughing. Like, it was probably the best fucking... You know when things bring teams together? That was one of those days
where
we were the number two team in the state that year with fucking Fernando Valenzuela Jr. and all these other fucking studs. It was a dope-ass team, and that was one of the best experiences that team had as well, is a fucking front yard brawl with a bunch of cholos, dude. It was fucking badass.
That's awesome. That is a great story. Dude, with that, this will be a nice transition.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Drinking Bro of the Week. This is a fun show tonight, kids. The Drinking Bros of the week was submitted by Fight Stories. Was submitted by a guy named Mark Briones. Love the last name. I wonder if he's got the cojones to match the Briones. that was like a pity laugh he just gave me. Way to go, Ross, you fucking dick. he wrote in and he said, I would like to nominate my Marine buddy who I deployed with, Jacob Wagoner. In 2010, he was diagnosed with brain cancer and was given 6 months to live. For the next six years, he beat the fucking cancer.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Unfortunately, last Wednesday, June 15th, Jake passed away during his second battle with cancer. For a man given 6 months to live, he made the most of his life on Earth, and he's proud of him. He's going to be buried at Willamette National Cemetery in Jesus. Oregon.
Yep.
He wanted to say hello and goodbye to his buddy Jacob Wiggles Wagoner. And he's the Drinking Bro of the Week. Rest in peace and fuck cancer.
I'm reading that, dude. Just several hours before we were all going to see Range 15.
Fuck.
Wait, what was that? I'm sorry.
It says that we all learned Jake passed away several hours before we were all going to see Range 15.
Mm. I didn't see that
he
part
would
of the
have
story.
Truly enjoyed.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's in the text.
It's tough, man.
Man. Well, hey, man, to Mark, cheers.
Cheers
to you, man.
Cheers.
And we're sorry for your loss. Hopefully you enjoyed the movie. It cheered you up a little. This was a man. This flew by. It was a really fast show to me. for Jared T-Bone, Triple J, Jimmy John's, Jared Taylor,
Humidog. I don't get a Humidog nickname though.
You get a human. You can get a Humidog bark out. We can bark out a Humidog at you.
The bark out.
Go check out the Instagram. The pictures on there. Ugh.
To Mr. Vincent, don't bring those cholos to my yard, Vargas, a.k.a. Rocco. And Mr. Ross, jacked as fuck, 6'3", 220 in college, Patterson. Why the fuck did you try to hit me with a bottle in the back of the head? You got worked every fucking time. We are out of here. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.